Everybody,
hi.
I look over and this big gleaming smile is facing me. I'm like, that was so awesome. Yeah, I'm like, I look like, whoa. Bless you. Every time I look at you, I see someone in love. It's in your eyes. It's amazing. People that are getting water baptized, got your stuff? Oh, I have so many volunteers to help hold down Consuela. She was like, what is wrong with everybody? I said, don't you understand? We love you. She keeps saying, I want free. I thought today you will be free. What's that?
Today is my birthday.
Today's your birthday?
Today is my birthday.
Yeah, that's a good day.
Can I tell you a good testimony about Consuela? She's blessed me, almost made me cry over here. She did. I appreciate her heart because she expresses herself. She wants understanding, so she tells how she feels. It's all good. We have fun with her, but who knows? That's honesty. And at the same time, you've heard me even openly say about the one testimony about, see, but God doesn't want you to let your heart go that way. Don't get used to just letting your heart have issues. But at the same time, she's asking questions. And God is even fathering her in that whole other side that, where maybe before it was just easy to just have an attitude. But she's been through some tough losses, her own challenges with her own little girl, her own family, little Brittany passing, getting her heart involved. There's a lot of stuff, you know, that initiates those questions. But she's in Walmart yesterday and sees a little girl. And she just thought she looked like she had something medically or physically wrong with her, right? And her friend's with her, and she never met this little girl ever. And she looked over at her, and she started pulling off her gloves and letting her stuff down. And her friend's like, what are you doing? She said, I just have to pray for that little girl. And I thought, you know, that is so awesome. Because you could be saying, well, why should I go pray because this or that or until this or that? Da, 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 da. She just went and prayed for her. But it was a whole story about that too, because she looked and she smiled at her and talked to the dad. And while she's talking to the dad, a little girl ran around, came and said, I see you, and grabbed her and held her and wouldn't let her go. And the whole time she's talking to her praying, she kept looking in her face going, I see you. And she was like, what is she saying? I keep saying, I see you, I see you. And she wouldn't stop hugging her. She prayed for her. She said, be healed in Jesus' name. And the little girl said, what did you say? I said, be healed in Jesus. She asked if you knew Jesus. She said, yes. And she's praying for her. And then she kept saying, I see you. And right before she left, she had to actually pull her and, okay, I'm leaving. And she said, I see you. And the dad's like, what is going on? And her friend said, do you know her? Did you ever meet her? She said, I've never seen her in my life. So when she turned, because she's been just asking questions that we're going to get that fixed today. You know, identity stuff. Are you really in me? Da, 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 you know, and seeing herself not in a very good way, just kind of measuring her mistakes. Right? That's a fair way to put it. And she said the Lord spoke to her and said about her seeing Jesus in her. Amen. And Consuela realizing, she said it was really an important day for her because she's like, you really are in me. And the truth is, he is, because we want him to be, right? And from that place, he grows in understanding and revelation through life. But I believe that little girl saw that. But what touched my heart is that Consuela laid down all those things that could be issues because of compassion for a little girl. And that's what I see in you. That's how you got involved with Brittany, right? Or Brooklyn, I mean. I'm sorry. You saw her in a parking lot and approached her. And tell me he's not in you. Where's that heart coming from?
I don't say the things I say. Why do I get angry like I get angry? Why do I want to choke?
We'll take care of that today. When the bubbles, did you hear that? When the bubbles stop, that person's gone. See? When the bubbles, I got four guys that are helping me. When the bubbles stop, that person you're talking about is no more. Watch. When we raise you out, it'll be new life. That person will be brand new. Phew, you already, the bubbles. We've done this before. And it just gets still. Oh, it's so fun. And then, and you're in total faith because you realize there's death. And if there's death, there's life. And you pull. Oh, yeah. I am so excited, Morgan. I am so excited. She wasn't even here the last 2 days. I think she came today just to watch. Just to, woo, woo, woo. Jesus!
Just physical CPR.
Requesting a snort wipe, too, in the car.
Okay. I'm going to talk. Did we talk about baptism at all in this school? It might help, just since we're doing this today, to just really give you an understanding of the power of it so that you can convey it to others. Amen. Would that be helpful? Yeah. To just talk about what's in my heart, in the Word, in the Lord, for water baptism, so that we see it more than just an ordinance or an obeying Jesus thing. Because I wouldn't encourage you. I know obedience is a beautiful thing, but in relationship, it's not just about, well, I ought to do it because he said so. That's kind of like probably the lowest level. Do you know what I mean? Do you understand? I don't want to just do it just because I should. I want to understand the heart in things and do things out of my heart, not just. I hope you follow what I said there. I mean, and if that's not the reality, obey by all means. Obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obey. But I want to catch the heart of what's going on, so I'm not just doing an ordinance and following suit and just obeying. So let's talk about water baptism just a little bit, okay? And then we'll go down, because we're going to do that today. How many of you is there? Is about five? One. Wiley, did you bring your stuff? Okay. Oh, you guys are both doing it. Okay, good. One, two, three, four, five. We got five, six. You?
I don't know. You told me before you wouldn't redo it. But I got baptized for the reason you just said. You said that's a really loyal one.
Well, yeah, but it is. But if you understand, but if you understand now, you can attach your faith to what you did. In other words, once you understand. But I don't want to fight folks. But what I don't want to teach at the same time is that every time you get fresh understanding, you think you need baptized. That's not what you need to do either. I usually encourage people that were sprinkled as a child or just did it as a child because that's what they did in the circle you were in, and you just followed suit and you just were like in a line because you were 12 or whatever. And there was no real meaning. But, I don't know. I don't want to refuse somebody either. Except for Alana, I'll refuse her. I'll cut her off. But, no. Oh, Tom's doing it too. You've changed your mind. Okay.
You want the real reason or the one I made up with my head?
I want the real reason, Tom. Who hasn't been praying for school?
I talked this over with my wife yesterday, and it wasn't anything she said, but I could just see the disappointment that she wasn't going to be able to be there.
Oh.
So I said, you know, to honor her, I'm going to wait till she's there.
Praise.
What are we going to say to that, Tom? But well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, right? No, that's a heart thing. That's awesome. That's just honoring your honey. You're in covenant with her. So
what I made up in my head was, I've heard what you said to Consuela, and I got to thinking about that, and I said, wow, he's going to hold her down so the bubbles stop, and he really likes her.
That's why I'm going to do it, because I really like her. If I didn't like her, I wouldn't do that. I'd just go through the motions. I love you so much. All right, good, Tom. Thanks. That's good. Oh, my goodness. Let's go to... there's a bunch of scriptures, but I want to... Okay, yeah, let's do it this way. I was going to do it backwards. Holy Spirit, straighten me out right now. I'm just heading to scriptures like, what are you doing? It was so funny. I was just serious. I was just going. He was like, what are you doing? You're going in reverse. That was funny. Thank you for loving me. He does love me. Mark 16. Let's go there quick. Thank you, Father. You're awesome. So the reason we're going to do this so y'all have a clear understanding. Now listen, if you've been freshly baptized recently or you've been baptized when you were born again, that's all good and that works. All you have to do is apply anything extra you learn or see or understand today. Just apply your faith to that moment. It's the same grace. It's just all about faith. Wow, now I see what I really did and I thank you. That's true for me. You know what I mean? If you were like Dick, he said, I really don't have to, because what he's saying is, I know I'm right with God, and I know he lives inside of me, and I know his grace is upon my life, but I was only ever as a child, and I want to release a faith that understands what I'm doing as a believer now, in accountability before the Lord. It's my own heart, my own decision, my own faith is what I was understanding, right? And I want that experience out of my own heart, not just as a little baby, christened or sprinkled or whatever, because none of you remember that. And that's what I want to show you right now. I'm not taking away from that. I'm not saying it's a bad thing and that people shouldn't do it. I just see it more scripturally as a child dedication. You're dedicating your child to the Lord. You're releasing a level of faith that says, my child is before you. I give my child to you. I trust your grace over my child. Whatever isn't apparent. We actually call them parent dedications because you're really dedicating yourself to train them up in the way of the Lord. I mean, God never intended for a parent to say, here's my kid. Take good care of them. No, you impart who he is into them. Amen. So it's really a child parent dedication is what we always called them, and I think that's true. But look at this: go into all the world, verse 15, Mark 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who what? He who believes and is. Okay, so the reason that I'm saying this baptism he's talking about doesn't work with the baby infant because the baby doesn't have a clue what they're doing and they haven't come to the place where they can believe. Okay, it's just simple. It's not technical. You'll see it. I'll show it to you again. He who believes and is what? Baptized. Baptized means dipped into or immersed into. You have to understand that that water baptism is symbolic of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay? Mary?
Another term for baptized is pickled.
Pickled. Yeah, you were listening to a Todd Bentley CD. But to be dipped into, to be immersed, dipped into, when I explain living through Christ and running stick through paint can, that's baptized into Christ. It's to become one. You get it? It's just good. If you stick a cookie in milk, you've baptized that cookie into milk. You pull it out and the two are one and they're good together, right? I mean, I don't really do that much, but they are good together. But, that's the whole principle of baptism. So, believe, right? Believe and be baptized. So what's the prerequisite for baptism? Believing. Prerequisite. That was a tongue twister for me. That was a bigger word than I normally speak. My education was stretched there. Oh my goodness. So I don't know what's wrong this morning. Somebody pray, okay? We'll get through this. Now watch. Death, burial, resurrection of Jesus is what water baptism represents. And what the believer does is he steps into an outward sign and expression by faith of an inward grace. Okay? He expresses something outwardly that's taking place on the inside. Death, burial, resurrection. Where's the death come in? You die in the likeness of his death in water baptism. Okay? So water baptism is important because it's a sign that's saying, I'm dying in the likeness of his death. What was the likeness of his death or dying? Look at Romans 6 with me. Saved is sozo, by the way. Saved, healed, delivered, protected, preserved, made whole, kept safe and sound. It doesn't mean go to heaven necessarily. It doesn't mean just forgiven of your spiritual state or saved in a, from your sins and spiritually made alive. It has very much to do with the here and now, the word sozo. Actually, the connotation of the word sozo has a whole lot more to do with here and now than heaven. Just think about it. Healed, delivered, protected, preserved. Those things are automatics in heaven. We're that now. We're not waiting to be that. We're not waiting to be protected and healed and preserved and kept safe and sound. That's what we become in Christ. Right? So saved. The word saved, the English language, the English American language in the church kind of has picked up over the last few generations that that word means, are you going to heaven? Are you saved? Are you going to heaven? It doesn't even mean that. It means, are you healed, delivered, protected, preserved, made whole and safe and sound because you're separate from your sins and the Spirit of the living God is in you. That's what it means. Okay. Yeah, it means all that. See, you can only take a word to replace a word. So you have sozo and you're translating it into English. So what word do you pick? Saved is a great word. Because if you just say healed, you'd miss the whole fullness of the word. If you just say delivered, protected, you'd miss the whole. So saved, if you're laying dying of cancer and Jesus breathes on you and the cancer leaves, what'd he just do? Save your life. Right? If you're in a car crash and the car's burning up and all of a sudden, you know, somebody pulls up in the nick of time and wasn't even going to drive that way and they felt like, let me take this road. And why are you taking that road, honey? I'm not sure. And they turn the corner. That's just the way God does stuff. Or it's all of a sudden you just wake up and you're laying over here and don't even know how you got there. What he did, he saved you. So the word fits in a lot of. You know, the word saved is the best word, but we've turned it in our minds into going to heaven. I'm saved. I'm saved from hell. No, you're saved from yourself and you're saved from sin. Okay? So it's a good word. Saved is a good word. Just don't misunderstand it. Understand what it means. It's sozo. Okay? It says in it says, what do we say? Romans 6. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. Of course not. How shall we who died to sin? That's a big deal in the Christian life. You're reckoning yourself dead to sin. You're not trying not to sin. You're being a good son and daughter. You're enjoying the love of God. You're wearing your righteousness. You're walking in truth. You're not trying not to sin. You're living as a son or daughter. There's a big difference between the two. You're not trying to be a good boy or girl. You're enjoying being His, okay? You're waking up forgiven and free. And righteousness begins to overtake your heart. The integrity of the gospel gets imputed. And all of a sudden, the righteous identity that's in Christ keeps you and abstains you from the lust of the flesh, from the things of sin. It's powerful. That's why it's grace and not works. Or just all you guys shape up or ship out. I mean, come on. Right? Grace is an amazing thing. Certainly not. How should we who died to sin? That's a big deal. Died to sin. Let's get rid of sin consciousness. I had a phone call on my machine yesterday and a lady's talking about how she's in a setting where there's a chaplain preaching, you know, won't it be great when sin's finally destroyed? Well, the chaplain doesn't understand that because of man's tendency to sin, his capability to sin. So won't it be a good, and they actually taught to the women, wouldn't it be a good day when this curse of sin is finally lifted? And we can all be with Jesus. See, that's just totally misunderstanding the gospel. But that stuff's being preached daily in the church. Daily. You know, you know, the only reason which is good, the only reason you can react like that, which is good, it's not a bad reaction, is because you're subject to different teaching and your heart's alive in that area. But a lot of people, it's all they've ever heard. So when they hear that, it's like, of course. So it's like they're bought out of sin and yet sold back into it through their lack of understanding. See how we're destroyed for lack of knowledge? And it gets to be a stronghold in people because actually the lady gave teaching to the person and she read teaching. I think it was Andrew Womack, who's, to my knowledge, really clear. I just don't get to listen to a lot of folks, but I'm sure he's good, very clear. A lot of people speak very highly of Andrew Womack. So you guys know who he is, and he's very clear, right? So she gave him a writing on how we're free from sin, and she read it and said, oh boy, this is really twisted. So because she's so, that's all, that's so you tend to defend your upbringing. And all of a sudden, that's all you can see, and anything that speaks different is a lie. So, but it says it right here. We die to sin. We don't live in it any longer. And then it says this, or do you not know? Some of us honestly don't know. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. Into death. Into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead. Oh, I guess I'm so excited I don't even want to teach. I just want to go die. Let's just go kill her. Let's get it over with, guys. Oh, my. Watch this. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. Watch this. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Here's the good news, Consuela. Just as Christ. This is good news. Watch. This is good news. Watch. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now you're going to see what he died to. Let's keep reading. Because, you know, we said, well, we were baptized into his death. Watch. Knowing this. See, now this is the second time he used the phrase, do you not know, and knowing this. So understanding is a big deal. We are not just getting water baptized because it's the Christian thing to do. It's not next on the list. Well, I prayed the prayer, now I got to get water baptized. It's deeper than that. It's more hearty than that. It's full of relationship. It's full of purpose and meaning and power. Okay? Watch. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Remember 2 Corinthians 5? If one died, all died. We died with him. When he died, we died in the eyes and heart of the Father. Okay? The price for our sin was paid once for... Okay, this is a big deal. So our old man was crucified with him. Watch. That the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of... sin. So there's a real powerful thought here. When you go in the water today, you that are getting baptized, you're dying to sin once for all, yourself, every mistake, failure. You're understanding as you go into that water, your life is worth the blood of Jesus. You're created to be sons and daughters. There's grace sufficient for you. What you're saying is, I don't want to live in my own wisdom, the wisdom of the world, my own mind, my own understanding. I'm sorry I ever did, but I'm here now, and so are you, and you haven't changed, and you love me. I'm saying goodbye to the old. Right? And hello to the new. Oh, I'm excited about water baptism. And now watch, it gets better. Watch. Done away with that we should no longer be slaves. For he who has died. He who has died. So that's a faith thing. So in all seriousness, Consuela and all of you, I'm highlighting her on purpose because we've been having a lot of fun with her, but in all seriousness, she's going to stand there today and say, you know what? I'm dying to all this. And all she's got to do is have that want to, I don't want this, and I'm trusting your grace, and I'm just putting everything under this water that's not of you, God. And I believe this one thing. You love me. You love me. Amen?
Sure. See, you feel happy in that, don't you? Amen. I'm excited for you.
Watch this. So he who has died has been what? Freed. What's he been?
Freed.
Oh. Freed from sin. Now, if we die with Christ, it's not just about dying with him. Watch. We believe this is, grab this, guys that are getting baptized especially, and for teaching this to others. It's not just about dying and getting water baptized and being forgiven. We believe we shall also live with him. Here's this word again, knowing.
See why relationship is so important? Because the more you commune with him, the more you know, not know. Did you get that? The more you know, not just know, to where you can teach it, but you know. Oh, relationship's a big deal because you want to know.
epinosis versus gnosis. There's different words for knowledge, knowing. Okay? Gnosis is just intellectual knowing. 2 + 2 = 4. Epinosis is experiential understanding, knowing. It's knowing. Like I can say, Dean, Jesus loves you, and be right in what I say, and then Dean can know that Jesus loves him. It's they're both true. This is where Bill Johnson teaches about the one's true, one's just more true. There's greater truth, and because I when I first heard that, I thought he said there's levels of truth, and I'm like, but it's true. That's they're both true, but the one's a greater level of truth, and it has a more impact. Watch this. Now, if we died with him, we believe we shall live in knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, watch this, you're alive forevermore. Watch. Raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. I encourage you in water baptism. You're laying down the fear of death. It's never about dying. It's about eternally living. So when you die, you're dying to the fear of death. You're dying to death once for all. You're dying to sin once for all. You're coming up brand new and alive with him and alive forevermore. Yay. I've been with him since the beginning, and I'm going to be with him forever. And the blood of Jesus is sure, no matter what man went through called the fall, God has kept things the way it's always been in his heart from the beginning. Isn't that cool? Come on. This is just exciting to me. For the death that he died. Now here's what you're dying to when you go under, when you die. What's this thing all about? I'm just dying? No, I'm not just dying. Watch. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. So he died to sin. He was made to be sin. Sin was wiped away. The wrath of God subsided and fulfilled. And sin shall have no dominion over us because God cursed sin in the flesh. Now watch. Likewise, here's you guys getting baptized. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be what? Dead indeed to what? To sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then it just goes on. It's awesome. It's about not letting sin reign in our mortal bodies that we should ever obey. It's lust. Why? Because we're children of God. So when things try to pull and tug on you, Father, I thank you. I'm your child. I thank you. You've just burned in me a heart to love you and to know you and to walk in righteousness. God, I thank you that I'm so free from self and flesh and sin. God, I'm in the world. I'm so not of it anymore. There's a place to commune and continue in prayer, presenting your members to God for righteousness and sin not having dominion over you because you're under grace. Okay? It's just a big deal. So do you see why we're dying? So death, burial, resurrection. Water baptism, symbolic of the grave. Symbolic of the grave. Okay? So you go under by faith to die in the likeness of his death. What's that mean? He died to sin once for all. You reckon yourself what? Dead to sin. Sin is not what dominates you. Sin is not what drives you. Sin is not what compels you. Sin is what you're dying to. You're created to be sons and daughters, not sinners. You're not sinners saved by grace. You were a sinner saved by grace. You come out of that water brand new. Why? You reckon yourself dead to sin, alive so the grave is you're going under, you're leaving the old man there. And now when we bring you out, there's a resurrection of life. It's in the likeness of his resurrection. It's the newness of life. So the old man dies, the new man comes. That's why it's a birthday. It is. I see it as the womb of God. It's really cool. Holy Spirit in a new life for girls baptism showed me baptism as the womb of God. And I was like, what? The womb of God? And I never heard anybody say it, preach it or anything. I was just at a water baptism with new life for girls. And he said, yeah, he said, they're going down. He said, just like when a baby's born, it's in a mother's womb and it's in the mother's womb forming and developing and taking on its form. And when the water breaks, a baby comes forth. And I went, oh, water's so symbolic. You know, they came out of Egypt and passed through the water. So I saw these girls, New Life girls, and I shared it and they're all boo-hooing and stuff. And I said, and then Holy Spirit hovers over the expanse of the water and he's like God's midwife. Holy Spirit midwife just takes the new baby, presents it to Papa. Look, Papa, brand new baby girl. And he's like, yeah, brand new birth, born again, born. Listen to the term, born again. Oh, did you get it? It's so amazing how a woman carries a baby in water. And when the water breaks, the baby comes forth.
It's so amazing, natural and spiritual things. So be born again. Nicodemus said, how can I go back into my mom's womb? That would be pretty tough. He said, no, it's not about that. Right? He said, born of spirit. There's three on the earth that bear witness. The water, right? The blood, the water, and the spirit. Isn't that amazing? Think about it. So you get filled with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit receives you out of the water baptismal as a brand new baby child in God. Isn't that cool? As see as the womb of God. As if you never were born before. As if you never lived before. Why? Because the old man's gone. The new man rises. The newness. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, creature. Old things. Behold. That's the power of God. Behold. All things new. You hear how specific this is? So death, burial, push, heart motive in you guys, heart motive, death, heart motive. What is the prerequisite? Help me, Donna. What is the prerequisite for water baptism?
Believe.
Heart motive, belief, right? Death, burial, resurrection. So powerful. If it wasn't important, it wouldn't be all through the Word. Let's look at it on our way back to the epistles. Oh no, let's back up to Acts real quick. I just want to show you a couple of scriptures. Is this all okay? Some of you know exactly what I'm saying. Don't sit there and just feel like it's redundant. Just say amen. Okay. Serious. It's okay. Now watch. Acts chapter 8. Jesus, you're amazing. Okay. Do you know the Philip and the eunuch story, right? Eunuch's driving on the chariot. He's reading Isaiah, 53? Philip leaps up on the chariot with him and he's saying, who is he talking about? Himself or another? He asked Philip. Okay. Here, let's just jump in so you can see it. Verse 29. The Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. That's pretty cool. Overtake it. So he did that in more ways than one. Whether he ran in a burst of speed and caught a chariot that was being pulled by horses and outran it and grabbed and caught up to it, and overtake it could mean that. I just think overtake it, period. Dominate the atmosphere of the heart and the lives will be changed because you jumped on. That's just pretty cool. So Philip ran to him, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I unless someone guides me? Boy, that's pretty good. Right there, must be crying out for the person of Holy Spirit and doesn't even know it. Look, how can we unless somebody guides me? You will receive the Spirit of truth and he will guide you in all truth. Bob Hazlett went to New Age Church and he taught on their spirit guide. It's just funny. He said, you can have a spirit guide, the spirit that will guide you in all truth. And he taught the spirit of the Lord. And it's just a good deal. And I thought it was amazing. And but look what how will I unless someone guides me? So that's a good spring. When I read stuff like that, I'll stop reading. Remember meditating in the Word. Holy Spirit, I thank you that someone's come and it's you and you'll never steer me wrong. I put all my trust in you. You're amazing. Thanks for your wisdom. And I could be reading the book of Acts right there and just stop and have communion with Holy Spirit because of that one line right there. And then what that man said becomes more my reality because I've responded that way in God. Do you understand how beautiful communion is with the Lord? Come on, it's beautiful. He asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was Isaiah 53, 7 and 8. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say? Himself or some other man? Now watch, this is interesting. Really watch this, okay? Everybody look, pay attention. Look in your Bible here. Really watch this. Watch. Because we've turned this thing into pray this prayer to go to heaven, and it is so not in your Bible. Watch.
Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, the Isaiah scripture, preached what? Preached Jesus to him. Period. Do you see a period? Oh, next sentence. Ready? Now as they went down the road, they came to some water and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Amazing. Philip didn't preach Jesus to him apart from water baptism. In fact, it was a real exciting moment for the eunuch. It was a highlight of the message. Because when he saw the water, it sounds like he got excited and said, whoa, water. He didn't preach Jesus apart from preaching water baptism. He didn't say, if you were going to die tonight and didn't know where you were going, why don't you pray this prayer with me? He was preaching death, burial, and resurrection. He was preaching, say goodbye to the old man, say hello to the new. Repent, change the way you think, and rise up and live in the nature of God, because the kingdom's here. We've turned it into a quick prayer to go to heaven. We've turned it into God meeting your needs and blessing your life and walking you through some rose garden or something called life. What? From that scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And the eunuch in the very next sentence knows he should be baptized. Why? Because he didn't preach Jesus without water baptism. Now, I could take the time if you want me to, and if anybody wants me to and needs me to, raise your hand. I could walk you through the book of Acts where they haven't preached Jesus apart from water baptism and where they were baptized. Every time men got saved, they were baptized immediately. Yeah. Why? Because it was the message. Yeah. New life. It wasn't pray a prayer to go to heaven. It was transformation of life. Even in the first message in Acts 2, men and brethren were cut to the heart. What shall we do? Believe and be baptized, because that's what Jesus said in Mark 16. We have strayed from what Jesus has said. Believe and be baptized. And you shall be, for the remission of your sin, and you shall be saved, and you shall receive the same Spirit you see that's come upon us, the Spirit of God. Did you get it? And we turned it into this, pray the prayer. Make sure you're in. I'm telling you, there's injustice there, because then you don't understand the transformation of life. You live in the same guilt, same shame. You still feel like your flesh is normal and sin is normal, and everybody does it. And thank God he even considers me. I don't even know why you love someone like me. That's the average Christian mentality. Well, I can tell you why he loves someone like you, because he made you in his image, created you to be a son and daughter. And you have the DNA of the Father in you. And you have the destiny of heaven waiting you. Yeah. You're made for him. You're made like him. That's why he liked you, because you look like him in your potential. Do you get it? In the house of Cornelius, Holy Spirit fell upon the believers as they listened to Peter preach, and Peter went, whoa, and all the Jews were amazed because they had received Holy Spirit. The Gentiles had received Holy Spirit. That's a new thing for the Jews, right? Peter had to get a vision just to know, be prepared for what was happening. Because for the Holy Spirit to come upon the Gentiles, that was like, what? Because they were outcasts. They were, man, they were pagans. They were, right? When he came upon them, here's what came out of Peter's mouth. You can check me on this, Acts 10. He said, wow, who can forbid these people water? First thing on his mind. Who can forbid them water that they might be baptized, seeing they've received the same Spirit we have? Who can forbid them water? The first thing on his mind, death, burial, resurrection, transformation of life, not a prayer to go to heaven, transformation of life. Jesus does not come to a corporate gathering to meet all your needs. He comes to make you look more like him. That's why he comes into a service, with the intent to make you look more like him. Don't be one of these preachers. If you ever get a chance to preach in a big setting, don't just try to stir and appease the congregation and say, Jesus is here to meet all of your needs. That is not why he's here. Because a lot of things you think are needs are wants. He's here to make you look more like him. He's doing a good job. Yes. Yes.
He's doing a good job. I see you. Isn't he doing a good job?
Can I share something about that?
Sure.
She was giggling the whole entire time. She was, I mean, just giggling. Like, and you know what? On my way home, it actually brought me to tears because, and then I'm laying in bed thinking about it, because it touched me unbelievably. And I said, God, I am so honored that I was given the opportunity.
Wow. Right.
To actually, that girl was loving on Jesus. She wasn't loving on me, but I got to be blessed by her loving on Jesus through me. And I told God, man, that was such an honor that That's he allowed right. me to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was first time ever I prayed for somebody that I actually felt that. I was like, oh, we are so blessed to be able to serve him to do that. Yes. Oh my gosh.
Jesus. It is amazing. That's good. Thank you, man. You can look at Acts 8 real quick since we're in Acts. You can if you want to here. It says that Philip went down and preached, and the Spirit of God moved, and unclean spirits, verse 7, Acts 8, cried out with a loud voice. Many were possessed. Paralyzed were healed, lame were healed, great joy filled the city. Look at verse 14. When the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of the Lord, they sent Peter and John to them. Now this is the other part after water baptism. I don't know who's been filled with Holy Spirit, baptized with Holy Spirit in here. When you get water baptized, that's all part of the message. The Lord's been really speaking to me about praying for people to be filled with Holy Spirit. If you already are, great. Then you're Cornelius' household. Since the Spirit's come upon you, man, let's get baptized. But if you get baptized, let's receive Holy Spirit. The baptism of Holy Spirit. You got it? Watch. Watch this. When they came down, Peter and John were sent to them. Why? Because they had come down and prayed for them that they might receive Holy Spirit. Watch. For as yet, he had fallen upon none of them. So it's a separate experience. Being recreated in your born-again experience, being filled with the Spirit in the sense of recreated spirit, your human spirit recreated, born again, is different than the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the endowment of power. One is John 4, a well springing up into everlasting life. The other one's John 7, a river flowing out of you, bringing life wherever it flows. One's a well springing up into everlasting life, John 4. The other is a river flowing out of your belly, John 7, resurrection life. Mick.
Another one I always thought was very pertinent, I tried to tell people, was that where they came to Jesus and asked if he stood out of the right hand or his left, he would be the greatest. And he says, are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? It's a different, they were all baptized in the Jordan, but he had a different baptism. He had another. But same day, different.
Right, right. Well, there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit with power. Well, in that scripture, I'm not sure he wasn't talking about drinking the cup, being baptized into selfless sacrifice, the whole Gethsemane experience, the whole nine yards. But the bottom line is this. You can see this. Watch this. And he's not making light in his language of water baptism because it's super powerful, and we're going to show you that. But what he's saying is there's more by this language. Watch this language. When they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive Holy Spirit. For as yet, he had fallen upon none of them. So, people say, well, you get the Holy Spirit when you're born again. Well, you get a recreated born-again spirit. But not the person of the Holy Spirit in the form of baptizing the Holy Spirit with the endowment of power, necessarily. Because in Acts, he had fallen upon who? None of them yet. Watch. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means water. Okay? So what's the first thing Philip did to the believers in Samaria? He said, look, since you all believe, let's get in the water and let's experience transformation. Let's die to the old man, die to sin, let's repent, the kingdom's here. Push, bring them back up. So they were already, when Peter and John got there, guess what they were already partakers of? Water baptism. Why? It was in Philip's message too. It wasn't a quick fix to get to heaven. It was a transformation of life. Do you see it in your Bible? Come on, and we covered the difference between water baptism and being filled with the Holy Spirit back in one of the classes. You can get the CD if you need to. I can't get into all that, but there's a definite, absolute, two separate experiences. Okay? So, they had only, the word only means there's more. It's not making water baptism light and insignificant. It means there's more. Okay? They had only means they hadn't gotten everything that they could. It's not making light of water baptism. Do you understand what I'm saying there? Okay. Acts 10, we already quoted. Cornelius' household. Flip to Acts 19 real quick. I'm just skipping through to show you there's a lot of places you can find this topic. This one is a blessing to me because it happened, verse 1, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper regions of Ephesus, finding some disciples, he said to them, look at his question when he found some disciples. It must have been their outerwear in their culture. They must have been dressed a certain way that he knew they were following something. He assumed they were disciples. That's all I can figure. He said to them, look at his question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? See, it fascinates me that we have these arguments in the body of Christ about whether you receive Holy Spirit when you're saved or not. That we don't understand. You receive the Spirit of God, receive you Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus said. He breathed on his guys and said, receive Holy Spirit. But then he said, tarry in the city till Holy Spirit comes upon you and endues you with power, so you receive power when he comes upon. Wait a minute, you just said receive Holy Spirit. Yeah, be born again, your spirit recreated and alive on the inside, no longer dark but light, no longer death but life, no longer a tare but wheat. You're alive inside because my spirit has rebirthed you. You're reborn from above. You've been fathered by me. So the Spirit of God is in you. It's the candle of the Lord. It's that seal for the day of redemption. You're alive inside, right? But tarry in the city. So there's more. Jesus himself was revealing there's more. He breathed on him, said, receive Holy Spirit, but then he told him to tarry in the city and wait till the promise of the Father comes upon him. And it's the person of Holy Spirit enduing with power. It's unmistakable. Watch. If Holy Spirit was an automatic given with your conversion experience, and everybody that's walked around that's ever been saved is saying, I've got the Holy Spirit, well, they have a recreated spirit if they're born again, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit is totally different, because if it wasn't, why would Paul be asking? It's just simple. If it was an automatic, why would Paul say, have you received the Spirit since you believed? Why would Peter and John walk to Samaria 35 to 55 miles to lay hands on him if it was an automatic? He had fallen upon none of them as of yet. Do you get it? Okay. So watch what they said. They said, into John's baptism, they said, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. That's a pretty honest answer. They're like, what are you talking about, dude? That's today, 2010 paraphrase translation. What are you talking about, dude? I don't know what you mean. Right? We don't know there's no Holy Spirit. Now watch. Paul's puzzled by this. He's like, well, what were you guys baptized into? It means they must have had some kind of outerwear on or something. Into John's baptism hall. Now it makes sense. Oh my goodness, John indeed baptized to repentance, saying to the people they should believe on him who would come after him. That's on Jesus Christ. Well then, obviously he explained Christ to them. He's like, guys, he's already come. The one that he said to prepare for, where were you guys at? He's already come. He died, didn't you hear? He raised from the dead. And watch, he shared that with. When they heard this, watch, when they heard this, they were what? Oh my goodness. Why? Because he didn't pray a quick fix to go to heaven. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Death, burial, resurrection, transformation of life, newness of life. Here's what we turned it into. So we meet this young man here, this young man, prophet, yeah. Because anybody over 50 is older than Dick, he told me. He said, in a year I'll be older than him. That's what he told me. And you told me that, Dick. I'm confessing that on, I'm telling on you. So I go up to him and I say, hey, buddy. If you die tonight and you didn't make it home, some tragedy happened, would you know where you spend an eternity? And he looks at me puzzled and says, well, no, actually, I've wondered about that. No, I don't. Well, you can be sure. Just pray this simple prayer. Boom. And that's what we think we're supposed to do. I don't even know where we got that. Why wouldn't he pray that prayer? Yeah. Right. Yeah. You try to take him to water.
and see what he understands and is ready for. You say, now listen, I need to take you. I got a hot tub at home. I want to baptize you. What do you mean, dude? You're weird. You want to get in the hot tub with me? No. Or listen, man, as a sign of what you just did, there's a transformation of life. And all of a sudden you explain the gospel message to him and say, listen, man, let's get baptized. If he was like the eunuch and his heart was in the place of salvation, what must I do to be saved? He's going to say, "What, man, where's the water? I need water." You'd be amazed all these quick prayers we're leading people in. You try to take them to water, you'll find out what you've really given them and how much they understand. Here's my thought. If Jesus said, believe and be baptized and you shall be saved, why are we preaching believe and confess and you shall be saved and missing the baptism part and calling it salvation? Wouldn't you think we're leaving a very powerful form of grace that wants to come on their life out? Doesn't it seem like we're giving them a halfway message that Jesus taught? Yep. Repentance, forgiveness of sin. See, Dan, you're making it complicated. No, I'm just following what Jesus said, and every disciple after him in the book of Acts, as many as we have record of. As many as we have record of. Believe and be baptized. Watch this. Now watch. When they heard this, they were what? Baptized in the name. And when Paul laid hands on them, guess what happened? Holy Spirit came upon them and they all spoke with tongues and prophesied. There was about 12 in all. What's the first thing they did when they heard the message Jesus preached? Got baptized in the name of the Lord. Why? Because it's part of the message. Paul didn't preach Jesus without preaching that. Because that's the sign of transformation of life. It's all about transformation of life. Come on, this is just simple. It's not legalistic. It's not critical. It's there. It's all part of the package. I want the package. You follow me? Mary.
What was the baptism in verse 3, then John's baptism?
Under repentance, just preparing your heart. Get your heart ready. There's one coming. Man, you guys get sober. Get your heart ready.
That wasn't water baptism?
Yeah, it was. It was just God creating a spiritual awareness. They were baptized. They were getting baptized. It was softened in their hearts. It was conditioned in their hearts. He said, surely there's one coming. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. But their born again experience required water baptism. These guys were already water baptized by John. And they were preparing their heart for the one that was to come. Now guess what happened? Guess what the grace was on their heart? As soon as Paul talked to them about the one they prepared for and that he already came, what did they do? Oh, I'm glad you told us. This is good news. And what'd they do immediately? Got baptized into Christ and his death. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. It was pretty much just saying, man, I know we need a Savior. I know we're out of line. I know we need to get our hearts right. I need a change of mind. I'm putting my heart in position for truth. You have to understand that before Jesus came, there was pretty much a spiritual law for hundreds of years. There was no real strong prophetic voice. There was no communion with God. There was a total sin consciousness for several hundred years. They claim 350, 400 years the earth was silent of the prophetic voice of God. That's pretty rough. And all of a sudden this man comes out of the wilderness of life. And he's a voice crying out in the where? I think we think of a desert. I think he's talking about the state of humanity. A root shot up, Jesus, a root shot out of dry ground. I think we think of a desert. He's talking about the souls of men. He's crying out in a wilderness. There was a wrong kind of fast, a spiritual fast. They were fasting spiritual things. There was no voice of God. And all of a sudden John starts crying out in the wilderness, make ready, make way, make your path straight. He's coming. He started announcing God's promise of a Savior. And they were getting their hearts ready. And it was just a sign of getting their hearts ready. Hey, we're ready for him to come. You have to keep your heart in a good place, because when he came, some of those people that got baptized might have been crying out for Barabbas in the end in confusion.
Yeah. We won't even go there, George.
With all the scriptures, with the denominational churches. How did they ever get away from this baptism as an adult and go toward infant baptism? Is anybody...
I don't know how we got all the things we say and do, George. It seems like man takes things into his hands and does what works for him and then builds a camp around that. I don't know. I can't, when I look at the words, some of these things astound me. Just the big issue over speaking in tongues that's in the church. Anytime you see a big issue, it's because the issue is so powerful and important. There's no fight over something that doesn't have great meaning. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues is so important. We talked about that the other day. And no wonder that whole sexual intimate thing we talked about, the exploitation of it, if it wasn't so holy, if there wasn't an amazing root backed by the presence and holiness of God, would Satan go out of his way to exploit the topic so drastically if there wasn't something incredible there? Right? If there wasn't something incredible about being filled with Holy Spirit, would there be such a... If there wasn't something incredible about the kingdom of God on the earth and God's power today and the gifts for today, would there be such a big debate on the gifts with the last apostle that God doesn't do that today and all these camps and division over things that have such impact if they're understood? So, it's just man. It's our desperate need for him.
I come out of that denominational church situation in the Pentecost. And they started talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm saying, we never taught that. And I was in that church 30 years. We knew the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but never taught on it.
Yeah. I don't have strong answers for you. It could be different. It just happens that way. And I believe there's a subtle... That's why, guys, let me respond this way. This is coming in my heart. That's why we stay very pure and keep our motive pure before him in prayer. And that's why we want to seek him to know him and him to have his way and his will. We're not seeking God for us. We're seeking God for him and his will to be fulfilled. Do you understand what I mean? We're not just seeking God for us, or you might find him for you. What suits, what works. No, I get in a bedroom. You should have heard some of my early prayers, George. I get in a bedroom. Strip me, break me down, tear me open, whatever you need to do. I must know you, and I don't want one lie remaining in my life, and I trust your love for me. It was just an emptying out of myself. There were certain ways that I felt to pray that got my point across, and I was just in God's presence wanting him to mold me, shape me. I wanted to live pure. How do you just live pure? When your mind gets invaded with trash and garbage and all of a sudden you have little wants and desires that rise up and think, how do you actually live pure? By getting alone with God and expressing that and wanting that, like we taught yesterday, real simple. Just sitting with things in your heart and desire and God's grace meeting you there and making them your reality. Why? Because you're just sometimes not in a hurry. Life's not going to move you from that place. You're just going to sit and you're meeting with intent, and God's grace meets your heart motive right there. And I think some of us are trying too hard, and sometimes it's just as simple as God knowing the heart of man and my want to, my motive, my desire. He told me a long time ago, the first message he ever put in my heart was, you can't rise above your motive, that your motive is your ceiling. And the pure in heart shall what? So the why behind my life, what's moving me, what's motivating me, is absolutely huge. Isn't it? Because if I seek him for any other reason than him, I'm going to limit what I find there. Or muddy. Muddy. Muddy it. Muddy what I see. It's going to muddy the water. It won't be a clear perception. My interpretation won't be clear. It's John 7:17. If I will to do his will. If I will to do his will, I'll know the truth concerning doctrine, whether it's of God's authority or man's. Here's what's happened. What you're talking about, George, all these camps we've got, and then we tend to hear the word or read the word to defend what we're standing for instead of to know him. And all of a sudden you can make it say what you need it to and find the right scriptures. That's why when you get in a talk with somebody, they have a response and it's always the same. And you know what they're going to say in those camps and stuff. They have the scriptures prepared. So I told you guys about the Mormons that came to my house, and I was moving a young lady that day, and they were talking about these Mormons coming to their house all the time and how they act like they're not home and stuff. And I was thinking, man, I used to do that, but now I'd answer the door quick. I'd love to talk to those guys. I mean, and I was like, they never have come to my house. And the people I was moving were laughing because they knew me. They said, well, yeah, that's because Satan ain't letting them come to your house because he don't want you to talk to them. And I said, well, I wish they'd just knock them door. It would be awesome. God loves them. I'd love to talk to them and find out where they're coming from. Because I didn't really know. It was all hearsay to me. I just knew Mormons weren't, you know, totally on page or whatever. You hear that stuff. But I didn't know. I couldn't judge that. That very day, my doorbell rings. I peek through the window and there's the Mormon standing on my porch. That very day, I get home from moving and they're right there. I ran in my kitchen like a little kid. I said, honey, the Mormons are on the porch. Oh my God. And then I explained the story to her and they're like, ding, ding. And I'm like, I got to go get them before they walk away. My wife's out there praying in the spirit in the kitchen, praying in tongues. I used to open the door and go, look guys, man, I got my beliefs. Poof. Just slammed the door and I was lost. My beliefs was that I was important and you weren't and you needed to give up so that I could be blessed. That was my belief. So I had my beliefs. I had my beliefs. I opened the door. I had such an amazing time with those guys and the Spirit of God ended up moving. I'm talking the tangible. They were shaking on my porch, trembling, backing off of my porch. It was amazing. I crawled over the rail to intercept them. And preached them and I gave, and I told them not to knock on these doors and preach what you're unsure of at this point. And I would suggest in the fear of God that you wouldn't knock on another door while you're so unsettled in what you even believe and see right now. And I was just, The next day, two senior elders were on my porch and I opened the door and this is what I said. I said, guys, it's really good to see you, but it's sad in a way. Because I realize you're only on my porch to find out what I said that so shook your boys so that you can better prepare them against someone like me. You didn't come to hear the truth. You came to get better defended. And they just kind of, and realized, whoa, this guy, yeah, he's just sword right already. I had the sword already in my hand. When I opened the door, it was in my hand, Daniel. It was a woe. Them senior elders, look, they came to my home group that night too. They came to my home group and sat in the home group for the whole home group and watched God heal people, saw words of knowledge flow and watched the power of God move in my house. And while I was preaching, they were whispering and they were, you know, but when God started moving and they knew it was real, because when you're there, when you watch it on TV, you can talk yourself around it. But when you're in the room, there ain't no way around it. When it's God. And God has the ability over the TV, but a lot of people watch TV and say, oh, well, that's set up or that's pre-done, da-da-da-da-da. But when you're in the, and they just put their heads down when God was moving, and I don't know what was going on in them. I would love to say it was a different turnout, but at the end, they stood up to leave. Towards the end, they said, look, we're going to need to go. I hugged them openly, held them tight, said, God bless you guys. I am really glad you came, and you're welcome here anytime. I really love you. And they walked out of my house. Never saw them ever since then on our street. And I feel like we're just X'd off. I've never seen a Mormon on our street. They would be on our street. I see them go down on bicycles still. I see them walking in other neighborhoods. I still see them around. I have never seen them on my street since that day. I don't know what that means. I don't think that's necessarily a good thing. I think they're just staying off our street. I mean, it might be a good thing for our neighbors, so nobody buys in, but the only reason they sent the elders back, this is what I mean about motive. The only reason they sent the elders back was to hear my heart as senior elders so they could better prepare and defend against what I was saying, not to hear what I was saying. That motive right there can block your ears from hearing. That's why Jesus said, he who has ears to hear. So we all have ears, but not all of us have ears to hear all the time. Let us hear. Watch what Isaiah said. Having ears, they don't hear. Having eyes, they don't see. for the heart of this people has grown dull. Lest they'd, what, hear with their ears, see with their eyes, hear with their ears. Turn means repent, that I would heal them. That's the heart of God crying out. We're too busy thinking other things, saying other things. Quick to speak, quick to anger, and slow to hear, instead of slow to anger, slow to speak, and quick to hear. We get it totally backwards. And then we wonder why things aren't working. And then we have a lot to say about that in frustration. You see? It's the total opposite. So you want to make sure that your heart's pure. Watch this. Watch what would have happened if those elders on the way to my house would have said, God, we really want to know you. We believe what we're teaching is right. We have that conviction for years. Those boys were really shook. Give us ears to hear you. Not necessarily even what this man, we don't want to just buy into what this man says, but God, we want to hear what you're saying. If they'd have just prayed one prayer like that, it would add a whole lot of difference on the way people hear. Because you can put up walls, you can build up things. Now God can blow through walls sometimes and stuff. But I'll tell you what, He wants your heart. He wants your yielding, His humility. Pride resists, humility receives. Does that make sense? So be very careful on your motive. You can't rise above your motive. But this is cool. You see this in Acts 19? That as soon as they heard, they were baptized. Must be right in the message for those boys, huh? You get it? Let's go to Colossians real quick. I'm almost done. So you're saying goodbye so you can say hello. Amen. Yay for you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. What are we looking for here? Please, Father, baptized. I'm looking for something. Sorry. Just don't see it. It didn't jump. Probably it's because I just switched to two. Complete. No. Raised. Okay. Chapter 2, verse 11. That's starting 11. 12 is what I was looking for. I knew it was in that area. Thanks, Mick, because I was zeroing in. I was... Because actually, chapter 2, 6 through 10 were huge in my life when I got saved. The Holy Spirit just drilled those scriptures into me. In fact, why don't we read it all? Because then verse 12 will make a lot of sense. I mean, we already know what we're talking about, but watch, this will be fun. As you therefore, verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord. This is for you guys today, even getting baptized. This would be good for you, Consuela. Watch this. Watch. This is good. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord. How are you receiving Him today? By total faith. What's the prerequisite for believing or for baptizing? Believing. I didn't even show you in the book of Acts why I took you there. He said, I got so excited about he preached Jesus to him in the very next sentence. He said, water! He preached Jesus to the eunuch in the very next sentence. The eunuch says, water! Which means you couldn't preach Jesus without the water, right? But here was Philip's answer to the eunuch. He said, what hinders me that I might be baptized? I'm back in Acts 8. You can just hang here in Colossians. I'll be back. I'll catch up with you. It says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Watch. Do you hear what he said? If you believe with all your heart, you may. You know what he's saying? Don't even do it as a Christian ordinance. Don't even do it because it's a Christian. Don't do it for any other reason than you believe with all your heart, or it'll be useless, because the grace will come upon your faith and the power of God will come upon what you believe. Now here's the deal. Can a little baby believe with all their heart and even understand what they're doing? So can you dedicate them to the Lord? Absolutely. But can they receive the born-again experience, water baptism that Jesus is talking about, and spiritually receive the benefits of it according to Scripture? Absolutely not.
Ooh. I can make some enemies talking that straight. Did you have the tape running? Well, it's all right. Be careful if all men speak well of you. That means you're just trying to... Never mind. Say what you need to make friends instead of speak truth. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord. I'm back in Colossians in case you're wondering. I know what I'm doing in the Lord. So walk in Him. So what are we going to do? So this isn't an event today. This is a position of the heart that's going to lead our life from today on. And as we believe, we're going to what? Walk. Amen? Now watch. Rooted, and built up in Him. In who? In Him. That's why you're dying to you today, so you can get your eyes on Him and get them off of you. That's been the problem. Right? Serious! You're relating to that, right? We all can. That's the problem. I always say the biggest enemy was you. You thought it was your neighbor or the devil. No, it was you. You get your eyes off of you, you can finally see Him. Come on, you're thinking if God would just change the world, it would be a better place. No, if He... Serious. I used to think if God would just change the world around me, it would be good. And He was waiting to change me. No, if I'd change you, it would be good. Get your eyes off everybody else. You get what I'm saying? I'm being serious. I'm saying it in a funny, fun-loving way, but I'm being serious. Look, so walking, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you have been. I'm not sure we've been taught. I think we prayed a prayer to go to heaven, a lot of us, and then we're told to be kind of good and make sure you come to church and pay your tithes and keep that thing running. Keep the boat afloat. Now look, you hook up and keep the boat afloat. I don't know how many of us have been taught to walk in Him by faith, rooted and grounded in Him and established in Him. I don't know we've been taught that. And He says, as you've been. See why we're teaching this? Because we're supposed to. Yay. Now watch. Abounding in it. This is a key for all of us. Abounding in it with... If you lose sight of what you have to be thankful for, you will actually believe you have a lot of reasons to be upset, to have issues. I have none. I have none. I'm not going to complain. It's useless to complain. If I'm complaining, it's because I've lost sight of the truth about my life and the grace of God and even my place in life and my calling. It's never about complaining. Complaining will change nothing. It'll just make me feel right and I'll be wrong. That's why I was so blessed you took off your gloves and prayed for that little girl. Here's the flip side. Why bother? Others died. Why bother? Nope. You know what, God? And then did you hear a testimony with tears afterward? How, it's just so awesome that God would even let us. It's just such a privilege. I think you already got in the water. Somebody might already baptize you, girl. We're still going to hold you under. We're going to make sure. But, you're not getting out of it. You're dying. But did you hear her heart when she conveyed that? Did you hear and see the tears in her eyes? She's over there wiping, saying, it's just the most amazing thing. Did you see her say that? Yep. It is the most amazing thing. And if you're not careful, you'll get your eyes off of that truth. You'll get your eyes off of that truth and start looking at other things and lose sight of what's so amazing and fail to live from that truth. And all of a sudden that truth starts waning because of this, that, or the other. You lose your thankfulness, Mick.
Interject a thought into what we're reading here. Whenever I got saved, God delivered me from all kinds of things. You know, the drugs, the alcohol, all that garbage, whatever's going on in my life, in the mouth, the whole business, just like yourself. But I couldn't shake smoking. I'd smoked 26 years at that point in my life. And couldn't get rid of it. I'm looking through the scriptures. God, what's up with this? You know, I can't get rid of this. You're doing one of those stuff. I can't get rid of smoking. What's up with that? You know? And He used these scriptures right here to show me if I just get baptized, He would deliver me from smoking instantly. Lost any.
Isn't that amazing? It just left because watch this. Because it's not a works thing. It's not bite your lip and not do it because I shouldn't.
It's, I don't even want this to be who I am. I don't want this. Some things are strongholds. Some things you give yourself to them, a yoke. You give yourself to something, and then it takes possession of an area of your life, or it starts to own you, and you become its servant. And all of a sudden it tells you when you're going to do and what you're going to do and how you're going to do. That's a yoke. He'll destroy that. I ministered to a lady that was addicted to heroin. Her whole life was trashed. Over. Everybody gave up on her, it seemed. I think they just didn't know what to do. They were exasperated. It's not that they didn't love her anymore. They were just at wit's end. People expended a lot on her, and she just constantly heroin. Somebody brought her into my office. It was the most amazing thing. It was one of the coolest things up to that point that I had ever seen. She was in my office crying, and I was talking to her, and I didn't talk real long because it was obvious it was a mess and an addiction, and you could see it took a toll on her life. And I looked at her and smiled, and I said, "So why did you really come here today?" She said, with tears running down her face, "Because I don't ever want to use heroin again. I don't ever want to do it again. I can't stop." She's bawling. I said, "Look at me, and look me right in the eyes. Do you really want to stop?" She looked at me almost like, "Are you a jerk? What kind of question is that?" But that's a fair question. Because a lot of times we're just saying that because we know it's messing everything up and we're not heading anywhere, but we really, it's all we see. We don't really want to stop. There's some people that'll be honest and say, "Well, I just know I shouldn't do it, but I like it, but I shouldn't do it." But there's a difference. She looked at me almost like, "What are you, some kind of idiot? What are you doing? Is this some kind of joke?" She was like, "Yeah, of course I want to stop." She was almost offended by my question, which I loved. That was awesome. I said, "Beautiful response." I said, "Listen, honey, there's nothing you or I can do to break that." I said, "What happens is you gave yourself to it and it yoked you up. It's taken you prisoner. The anointing of God destroys the yoke. Jesus Christ is the only one that can set you free. The power of His Spirit's the only one, the finger of God, that can snap that chain." I said, "Here's all I want you to pray. It'll be simple." She's standing in the room. Here's what I had her pray. It's not a method. It was her heart. Lord Jesus, I gave myself to heroin. I led her in prayer because I knew her heart. "I gave myself to heroin. Only you." Or, "It owns me now." That's what she said. "It owns me now. And I can't get free. Only you can set me free. Would you please come and set me free?" When she said that, the power of God, I usually feel the power of God flow out of me. I'm not even going to try to get in a theological thing with you. I literally saw the power of God go like that. This way. It meant something to me. Look up from whence go. It just meant something to me. She went, fell into the lockers and started to slide against the lockers. And I went, whoa, and I grabbed her and just held her and didn't want her falling her back down the lockers. Even though if God's doing that stuff, He just somehow protect. I seen an elder's wife, get hit one time by the power of God and roll over two rows of chairs, roll, fall on the floor and bang her head. And her husband's laughing, say, she never felt a thing. And I'm thinking, oh my God. Because I was just saved and I was pretty zealous and aggressive and I thought everybody had to get knocked head over heels or God wasn't in the room. And I'm like, fire! I turned to face her and she's way over here and she goes, poof, poof. I thought, oh my God, I didn't do that. She was fine. She didn't look like she had to be hurt. But that's how this girl, she just hit the locker, started sliding, I grabbed her, held her up. I said, "It's okay, I held her." The thought, from that moment, the thought of using heroin was ridiculous to her. It was like, why would I? From that moment. It's just beautiful. Putting your total trust in Him, taking responsibility for where you've left your life go, acknowledging it's owned you, but it's not who you are and who you desire to be. And only you, Jesus, can set me free. Would you break this yoke? Would you come and please help me? That's kind of how she said it. Like, would you please help me? Set me free. And I'm thinking, oh God. Power of God came. It's wrecked her. And broke that chain. Isn't that sweet? Her family even reported, because she went back down to Florida and called. She kept in touch for a while. I mean, I've ministered to so many people, I can't stay in touch with everybody, so I can't even speak for today. I can just trust that she's doing well. But even her family called and was like, oh my gosh, you don't understand. This has been like her whole life since late teens. How can she just be this okay? And gave me an opportunity to tell them why.
You got a minute?
A long minute. A long minute.
Long minute. Not just a minute.
We got to end too, because we got to go down and got some stuff to do. We're going to run out of time here. Rooted and built up, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, empty deceit. This is amazing. According to the tradition of men, the basic principles of the world, not according to Christ. See, Jesus is the wisdom of God for us. Okay, the life of Jesus is God's wisdom, and we follow Him, His words, His ways. All this other stuff is stuff we learn through the fall of man. It's the way that seems right. You can just circle that whole line of categories there of philosophy, empty deceit, tradition, man, and just, you could put out even an arrow to your column of your Bible if you write in your Bible and just put the way that seems right. But the way that's right is in Christ. Now watch, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you what? You are complete in Him. Man, it would be good for you to pray that all the time. Father, I thank you that I'm complete in you. I'm not lacking any good thing. Every potential is in place to manifest. Everything you've ever predestined. God, you're giving me increased understanding, but you've made me right. You've filled me with your Spirit. I'm redeemed. I wear righteousness. I am protected in this gospel. Thank you. You've made all things right and new. You know, there's just a place to believe God. Now watch. In Him, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. That's what you're going to do today. Putting them off. It's no longer. It's not who I am. Now look, buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. Do you see it? Come on, it's so powerful. And you being dead in your trespasses, the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting and requirements against us, which was contrary to us. And He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross and disarmed all the powers, principalities, made public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. It's very powerful. Last scripture real quick, and we're going to break. And you people that are getting baptized, go down, get yourselves ready and changed. And we'll try to make our way to the baptismal, you know, as promptly as we can. 1 Peter chapter 3 is amazing to me, because people get legalistic and say, you know, everybody says they're trying to run from legalism, and then we ask legalistic questions. Like, do I need to get water baptized to be saved? You know, well, I don't need to get water baptized to be... The question, do I need to get water baptized to be saved, is not a wrong question if it's asking a right heart. But to say, well, I don't need to be water baptized to be saved, that's a totally misunderstanding person that's actually trapped in legalism. Why is it even a question? Jesus said, believe and be baptized. Believe and be baptized. Why do we separate the two? Because we say, well, it's the blood that saves me, not water baptism. Well, we probably ought to read our Bibles. Because the word saved is sozo. Watch. There is also... Okay, let's just read in... he's talking about Noah in the days of the flood. Do you understand the flood and how prophetic the flood was in the sense of New Testament reality? God came through water, baptized the whole earth of unrighteousness, and swept it away. And all that remained through the water was 8 righteous souls. It's the picture of baptism. He baptized the earth. Come on. Now that was under the wrath of sin, and then a rainbow appeared and God said, it'll never be that way again. But guess how it'll be? Through water and through death, but the death of the old man. death. Through death. It's still death. There's no escape, Consuela. It's through death. But it's a different kind of death. So do you see what happened in Noah in the flood? Men were evil, continually wicked. God flooded the earth, baptized the earth, and drowned out all unrighteousness. And all that remained after the earth was baptized with water was 8 righteous souls. Come on, it's a picture of water baptism in the Christian experience. Isn't that cool?
Yay.
Now watch. So he talks about that, while the ark was being prepared, which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved. 8 souls were saved through what?
Whoa.
You say, well, it's the blood. It is the blood. But the blood paves the way for you to even experience the reality of what the water represents. Okay? So there's a working of both. The blood, it's imperative. The blood, thank God for the blood. I'm not making light of the blood. But there's a power through the water. The three that bear witness on the earth is the blood, the water, and the spirit. And God forbid we keep preaching the gospel without the water. Are you following me? Come on, I'm teaching the word. It's all through the word. Now watch what Peter says. I think Peter probably had a... He probably knew Jesus a little bit. Jesus probably... And Peter had some experience together. Who would agree? Okay, so if he's writing, he's probably writing by the Spirit of God if it's in this book. Do you think so? Come on, watch. He talks about Noah while the ark was being prepared, which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved. They were saved through what? Through water. Watch. There is also an antitype which now saves us.
Oh.
There's something in line by God which now saves us. Dash. Baptism.
Whoa.
What's baptism save? Saves your conscience, your soul, your emotions. It saves your ability to see yourself clean and free. It redeems you. It protects you. It keeps you safe. Water baptism, watch. It now saves us. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer. Baptism is the answer. Here's the whole goal. Catch this, Consuelo. This will be great for you because of your heart cry. Watch. Water baptism is the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What's that mean? By faith, I'm going in the water because my heart's sincere. I don't want to live for me. I don't want to live for attitudes. I don't want to live for weakness. I want to live for your glory. I'm a child of God, created in the image of God, and I'm going to live for that by grace. And I call everything else dead, and I'm going under here, and everything else is removed, and I'm coming up with a conscience clear, a good conscience towards you, because there's a removal of those things, and a new person is alive. I am born again. You get it? Yeah. You see? Do you see in your Bible? We have this antitype which now saves us. And then the church says, well, it's not the water baptism that saves you anyway, brother. It's the blood. Maybe you ought to read your Bible. There's a working of both together for a consummation of God's will in your life. Jesus said, and he probably knew what he was talking about. Jesus. Jesus said, believe and be, it shouldn't even be up for question if we honor him. He said it, why do we even debate it? Believe and be, that must be all inclusive. There must be power in the two together. There must be a synergism of the two together. Amen? Take a break. Meet at the baptismal pool. Everybody that's getting baptized, run to the water!